All right. So hello, everybody. Welcome back from spring break. I hope that you guys had some rest while you were gone, or maybe you went on a vacation in one of our mission trips, and maybe that wasn't that restful, but hopefully you had a lot of fun. I personally got to go to El Salvador with a team, and it was honestly one of the most amazing things that I've ever done in my life. While we were there, we worked with an organization called Convoy of Hope, which is a nonprofit that runs programs like children's feeding programs, women and children empowerment, and then disaster relief inside and outside of the U.S. And being able to be on the ground with them was life-changing. If you've never been on a mission trip before, I highly encourage you to do that. Catch them next year or the summer camp ones, because that's really where we can be the hands and feet of Jesus to people that can't give anything back to us. If this is your first time joining us tonight, I just wanted to say welcome and thank you for checking us out. Like Derek said, I'm not Derek. I'm somebody that's new that's preaching tonight. My name is Aaron. I've been on staff here for a couple of years. Two of those were internship years, and this is my first year as a full-time staff member. But before that, I graduated from UNI like you with my degree in music education. While I was in college, I was also actively involved in Chi Alpha, and that was where I first developed a real relationship with the Lord. I also met my beautiful wife, Alyssa, there, who is running slides tonight. She's amazing. She teaches elementary music, so pray for her and for my ears, because those kids are not Mozart, so it's not fun to hear. But the reason why we both stuck with Chi Alpha was because God radically changed both of our lives here, and we still believe that he wants to change your lives tonight. So, we're going to be kicking off a new sermon series titled Robe of Many Colors. During the next 3 weeks, we are going to be looking back at the story in the life of Joseph. To give you some context, Joseph comes from a very important family in the Old Testament. He was the great-grandson of Abraham, who was called by God to be the founding father of the nation of Israel, which ends up being God's chosen people. And through his family, the whole world was to be blessed. The story of Joseph happens in the book of Genesis, which is the very first book of the Bible, and we're going to pick up the story tonight in chapter 37, verses 1 through 11. It says this: Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojournings in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel is Jacob, Jacob's Israel, same person, different names. Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. The title of tonight's sermon is Family Robe. Let me pray for us. Dear Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for the fact that we're back here tonight in Lang Hall. God, we thank you that we were able to get rest or have a great experience over spring break. Lord, I ask that as we come into your presence tonight, that your Holy Spirit would just be able to speak through this word, Lord, and that as we look at the life of Joseph, God, that we can find freedom in who you are tonight. In your name we pray, amen. So last summer, I got married. And when you get married, you hopefully are moving into a new apartment like I did. And when I moved into my new apartment, me and Alyssa brought different stuff with us. One of the things that I brought was a really old piano that I grew up owning and playing. But there's just one problem with this piano. The sustain pedal on it didn't quite work. If you're wondering what the sustain pedal is, it's the thing that Trey presses with his foot right here. The problem is that with my piano, the plug-in, which for this one is right here, didn't work. However, if I plugged it into a different plugin on it that wasn't meant for it, for some reason, that worked. So we move in, and Alyssa teaches music, so she's trying to play the piano all the time, and I completely forgot that this was a thing, and so we just thought that the piano was broken. For 2 weeks after that, I tried everything I could think of to fix the stupid piano, except for plugging it into the opposite jack. I took the whole thing apart, which took hours because there was like 80 screws in it. I have one hand and I don't have a power drill. And also, I brought it to my brother-in-law, who is an electrical engineer, who looked at the wiring of the piano, the motherboard, and all that other stuff, but he couldn't even figure out what was wrong with it. At that point, I was just super frustrated because it seemed like no matter what we did, the piano wouldn't work. Well, we eventually realized that if we just plugged it into the other jack, that the pedal would work, and we didn't have to go through these 2 weeks of pain or 2 weeks of trying to figure it all out. We could have just had it there in the first place. Have you ever dealt with something like this? Maybe not with a piano, but have you ever felt like there was something wrong with you? Or maybe something that was missing or broken in your life? Or maybe there's something isn't quite working the way that you want it to be? Maybe there are things that you do that make you wonder, why did I just do that? Have you ever wondered maybe why you have constant anxiety or why you spend so much time worrying about things like money and grades? Or have you ever wondered maybe you get unnecessarily mad at times for absolutely no reason? Or why you struggle with jealousy or bitterness in areas of your life that you know it doesn't actually matter, but you just can't shake those feelings? Maybe things like sports and grades affect your mood more than you would like to admit. Or when you're around certain people, you don't feel like you could be yourself. Maybe you have a hard time feeling or processing your emotions, or you have a hard time talking about your emotions with other people. Have you ever wondered why sometimes you say and do things that you know you'll regret or you know are dumb, but you say or do it anyway? We all have a general idea of the way that our lives are supposed to work. But no matter who you are, all of us have some level of brokenness in our lives. And another person we see who dealt with brokenness was Joseph. Joseph had some things happen to him that, let's call, were less than ideal. If we go back to the text again, the beginning said, Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a robe of many colors. Like Joseph, we are all given a robe, and that robe comes from our families. Joseph's robe became a part of his identity. It showed others who he was. Now, he didn't choose this robe, just like he didn't choose his family or where he came from, but it was given to him, and it shaped who he was. All of us get a robe. We come from a family or an upbringing that impacts who we are and our identity. Who you are is not necessarily completely up to you. It's easy for us to think that the way that we live our lives and the things that we do are just a result of choices that we are consistently making on the daily basis. But the reality is our lives aren't actually that shallow. Who we are, yes, is affected by the choices that we make. Hear me there. But it is also affected by our upbringing and our family or the robe that you have been given. The habits, the practices, the quirks that you grew up with, they can and still do live inside of you, whether you are aware of them or not. Just have a roommate or get married, and you will see very quickly that you have different habits and preferences than other people around you. Pastor and author Pete Scazzaro says this, Jesus may be in your heart, but Grandpa is in your bones. Meaning that even when we are saved and we begin to think like Jesus, talk like Jesus, act like Jesus, there are still things deeply rooted in our hearts that go back to our family of origin. Some surface level things can be like what you like to eat or cook, what kind of hobbies you're into, whether you're a clean or messy person, or what holidays you celebrate. But it can go much deeper than that. Our families affect that the way that we view social roles, how we communicate with others, and how we view ourselves or other people around us. Even the role that you had in your family affects the way that you are today. If you're the oldest child, you're probably responsible. If you were the youngest child, well, we all know what youngest children do, okay? There's grace, though. But it doesn't matter if your parents were strict or relaxed, or how many rules and expectations were, or if you had no rules growing up, or if you grew up in a home that valued high test scores and grades, or if you grew up in a home that just valued you trying your best. We all wear some type of robe. And what robe you wear affects the decisions and the actions in your life. This may cause you to prioritize certain things that are different from other people. For example, some people may prioritize school above everything else while others prioritize personal time. Or you may prioritize relaxation while other people are prioritizing their sports teams or music. Now, none of these are necessarily good or bad, but they do exist. We all have unique things that are passed down from our family. So ask the question, what's yours? Joseph's family, as we read, also had things that were passed down from generation to generation. If we go back, starting with his grandfather Abraham, we see a pattern of lying emerge. Shortly after establishing the covenant with God, Abraham lies multiple times about his wife being his sister. Little weird of a lie, but we'll move on. Then Abraham's son Isaac lies about the same thing. He tells people that his wife is his sister. Really weird. All right, so then after that, Isaac's son, Jacob, continues the pattern of lying by tricking Isaac into believing that he is his brother Esau. So we've moved on from lying about our wives, now we're lying about ourselves. Anyway, I think it's safe to guess that somebody in Joseph's generation probably struggled with lying. We all have a family robe, but sometimes those family robes can hurt us. Growing up, my parents instilled this idea in me that I could do anything I set my mind to. And it did come from a good place in their hearts. They wanted me to live my life not being affected by the fact that I only have one arm. But the problem was, the way that I interpreted this growing up was that if I ever needed help, it means that I was not good enough for the task that I wanted to do. So now, even though this wasn't their intention, I have a really hard time asking people for help. I feel like I need to prove to the world that I can do anything that anyone with two arms can do. And if I need help, it shows that there's something wrong with me. So while this mindset has actually pushed me to do a lot of things that I don't think I would have accomplished otherwise, it has also made me refuse help in my life when I've really needed it. Even if our family robe is good, or there are good intentions behind it, it can sometimes hurt us in the long run. Let's go back to Joseph's story. So verses 3 and 4 say, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him." I don't know about your family, but my family didn't have this, where my father just chose one person out of every sibling and was like, "You're my favorite, and here is a piece of clothing to represent that." That sounds like a terrible way to have like family harmony and to show everybody that you love them. And I get why his brothers dislike that. Their dad really wasn't the best at being a dad. And the result of his decisions caused Joseph and his brothers to have strife, jealousy, and arguments with each other. So you see, Joseph was the second youngest brother, which meant that in his society, that was about as low on the family totem pole as you could possibly get. The youngest had no rights, and when the father of the family died and the inheritance was given out, he would get maybe something, but probably nothing. But this robe changed that. The robe represented favor, princely standing, and birthright. It redefined Joseph's standing in the family from the lowest all the way to the top. Even though that sounds great, right? In theory, that sounds good. And I'm sure Joseph's father meant for it to be helpful. It did more harm than good. We read later on the passage about some dreams that Joseph has. It says, "Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more." Surprise, surprise. "He said to them, 'Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to my sheaf.' His brother said to him, 'Are you indeed to reign over us, or are you indeed to rule over us?' So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words." Because of the robe that Joseph was given, he became a little arrogant. Yes, we find out that his dreams were from God, but he didn't really need to brag to his brothers about it. To be honest, he should have known that his brothers were angry and jealous with him, and he should have been more careful when he was around them with wearing his robe. But he had so much of his identity wrapped in that robe that he didn't really care how arrogant or prideful he sounded telling his family these dreams. What has your family robe instilled in you? Maybe your family never addressed conflict. So now, if there's conflict in your life, you either run from it and cut people out, or you deal with it in another unhealthy way. Or maybe, like Joseph's family, there are deeply rooted sin issues in your life that you can't seem to shake, and for some reason, you have no idea where they came from. Have you ever thought that maybe your parents and other family members are struggling with the same sin struggles as you? Like I said, not everything from our family helps us. If we read later on in the story, we see Joseph sent by his father to check up on his brothers. Earlier in the passage, if you remember, we read that Joseph would often bring a bad report of his brothers back to his father, so we can assume that he was just being sent out to be sort of the behavior police. Well, Joseph heads out, and after some time of searching for his brothers, he finally finds them. But before he reached them, his brothers decided that they had enough of him. If we read on in the chapter, it says, "They saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him." Little extreme. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what becomes of his dreams." There's that family lying right there. But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of his hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to their father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty, and there was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, like anybody does after they conspire to murder their family. And looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to them. Then Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. So, to sum up this story, we see Jacob gives Joseph a robe. Joseph takes this robe, puts his identity in it, causing him to be a little prideful, a little conceited. This causes his brothers to hate him so much that they choose, instead to talk to him about it, to kill him. But last second, one of his brothers saves him, and instead, thank God, he's sold into slavery. Well, we all have things in our lives that we think are small or that we are unaware of. But these things can have very big negative effects on our life. I don't imagine when Joseph got his robe that he ever imagined it would lead him into slavery. And I do want to take a moment to recognize that what Joseph's brothers did to him was not okay. Just because he was being arrogant and rude does not mean that he deserved to be punished. That's not what the Bible is saying. Joseph being sold into slavery was just as much a result of his brother's sin as his. Maybe you're in here tonight and you can relate to Joseph. There are a ton of things from your family and from your life that you can point out that affect you. Maybe you come from a family where your parents are divorced, or you and your siblings or you and your parents just didn't get along. You never felt connected with them. Maybe someone in your family or you experienced a serious illness growing up, and that affected how you lived your daily life. Or maybe someone in your family struggled with an addiction, or there was a lot of family drama growing up. Maybe like me, your family had good intentions, but it didn't quite settle the right way in your life. And now you have things like anxiety, pride, and you struggle with self-sufficiency, and you carry them day in and day out. So where does this leave us? Broken? More broken than before? Well, what are we going to do about it? Maybe you're here, again, and you feel like Joseph. The results of your actions and your family have left you in a pit, and you feel like there is nothing that you can do to get you out of it. Or maybe you're in here and you've been following Jesus for some time. You read your Bible, you pray, you go to small group, but none of those things have gotten rid of the sin and shame that you are carrying. Well, we have a couple of options here. The first one is you could just sit in it. You could give up and say, "You know what? This is just who I am. Because of my family, I just have to carry these things for the rest of my life, and that's just what I'm going to do." But you could also choose the better way, the way of Joseph. Joseph could have let his story end with him being sold into slavery, but he didn't. He didn't let his past define him, and through everything that happened to him, he still remained faithful and continued to choose God. Eventually, later on, Joseph's life flips, and he goes from slavery to being the right-hand man of the king of Egypt, where he continued to stay faithful to God. But how did he do this? Well, Paul says in Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, but that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. When Paul says put off, he is telling us that we need to make a daily choice to put off our old lives and live out our new life in Christ. That is a lot easier said than done. You might be sitting here looking at the broken parts of your life and feeling lost and hopeless about what to do next or how to fix it. Maybe you have sin or habits that you've never really shared with anyone, and you're just too afraid of what will happen if you do. Or maybe you are sitting here and you've tried everything in your power to get rid of your past and the sin that has been haunting you. You've tried prayer, Bible reading, you've tried going to service, but nothing works. I know that it seems impossible, but I'm here to tell you that it is possible to grow past those things. No matter how broken you are, there is a way. Earlier, I shared with you a little bit about my parents telling me that I could do anything. That is a very minute part of my story. You see, growing up, most people dreamed of being popular, having a lot of friends, getting good grades, being the best in their sport, but I just really wanted to be normal. The reason why I know it's possible to grow out of your past is because that is my story. To give you some background, before I reached the age of 15, I had two siblings pass away and a third come very near death through battling cancer. I was also raised in a military home, which meant that every 3 years of my life, my whole entire world was uprooted and replanted in a new town, a new city, with different people, different school, different friends, and a different life. Not to mention that if you haven't already caught on, I'm kind of missing something important here. To be honest with you, growing up, I didn't like my life. I saw my family robe as being stained and ugly, and I was really not that proud of it. I just wanted to get rid of it. I thought that what was happening in my life was a direct reflection of my heart and my actions, and I carried that weight for so many years. I blamed myself for my sibling's death. I blame myself for having one arm. I used to think that I was so sinful that that is what I deserved. I had so much anger and sadness pent up in my heart that I decided early on, maybe, just maybe, I could be a good person. I could reverse everything if I just worked hard enough. And so I started to work really hard. I was in sports, clubs, extracurricular activities. I worked hard in school, kind of. I attended youth group and church. I volunteered for service projects. I followed all the rules that I possibly could. But there was one problem. No matter what I did, my life was still ruled by sin. If you flash forward a couple years, I go to college and I get plugged in with Chi Alpha in this very room. I started reading my Bible and developing a closer relationship with Jesus, and I knew that there were areas in my life that I had not let God into, but I chose to continue to ignore them because I thought that if I let anyone in, that would confirm my biggest fear. I am just too broken to ever be healed. During this season of my life, I would read a passage and feel pretty terrible about myself, to be honest. That passage is 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, and it says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. I would read this verse, and I would feel so hopeless. I would say, God, how do you expect me to get into heaven when I struggle with all those things? I'm unrighteous, I'm deceiving, I struggle with lust, I struggle with greed, and I'm prideful, and no matter what I'm doing, nothing is changing. God, that's not fair. I didn't choose to have all those things in my life. And the thought began to spin in my head. God, is it true? Am I really just too broken that there is no hope for me? And so oftentimes, I feel like we stop here. We think there's nothing more that we can do in our lives. We are just too damaged and too broken, too unfit for God's kingdom, and too unfit for God's love. And we live the rest of our lives trying to be holy to the best of our ability, but fail. But that passage doesn't end here. If we read the next verse, it says this. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. When I finally understood this verse, when it finally reached my heart, for the first time in my life, I realized that maybe there was hope for me. This verse showed me that I had the ability to put on the robe of Christ. It's not about my performance. It's not about my perfection or having to strive to be accepted. It is by the blood of Jesus that my brokenness was to be healed. But how do we do that? Well, there was a couple things that I did that helped lead me to this conclusion. First, I had to admit that I had a problem. For the longest time, like I said, I acted like I didn't have any issues. I pretended like my sibling's death and having one arm didn't affect me. When people asked how I was like, oh yeah, like I'm great. Like my life is peachy, you know, it's just a normal life. So the first thing that I had to do was actually admit that there was something wrong. Hopefully, maybe by now, you may be already aware of some areas in your life and your past that need to be healed. But continue to search your own life and heart and dig deeper to find out more about yourself. It doesn't just end here. Remember, even if you had a good family and a quiet life growing up, there are still things that are going to affect you to this day. And it's not fun to admit that you're broken or that you need help. Believe me, I would know. But it's so freeing when you finally understand that you don't have to have it all together. The second thing that I did was I talked to others about it. We are not meant to do life alone, nor are we meant to carry our burdens on our own. We are designed by a relational God for relationship with others. And to be honest, oftentimes our own healing comes from and through community healing, meaning that our community, the people in this room, play an active role in walking through this journey with us. This can look like being vulnerable to your small group or small group leaders about things that you have noticed in your own life, or also asking them to walk through things in your past with you. If you aren't connected with a small group in here, this could simply look like getting connected with one. The best part about Christian community is that no one is here to judge you or make fun of you for your struggles. Everybody in here should want to grow and journey with you. When I opened up with people about my past and brokenness, it showed me that all of these things that I feared would happen if people really knew me was a lie. It showed me that I can be loved despite my brokenness, and I was also able to see God's love reflected in my friends. After I did those two things, I also used tools and asked people to help me grow. Like Paul said, this is a daily thing. We have to continuously choose to put on the robe of Christ. This isn't a one-and-done deal. It's a process, and it will take some time. Some helpful things that I did was use things like the Enneagram, which is a personality test that helps you process your motivations behind why you do the things you do. I also walked through what's called family scripts, which are listed behind me. You can also find them on our website if you want to look at them more. Family scripts are messages that we receive from our family or the roles that we are given and the ways we believe we must live, but they don't always necessarily line up with God's will. Besides that, I also meditated on scripture verses that helped remind me that my identity is in Christ. So some good ones to meditate are also listed behind me. You could go to 1 Corinthians 6, the one that I just did. 2 Corinthians 3 is also a good one to meditate on. Psalm 139 is amazing, and Psalm 23 is. When you go to meditate on these, take your time. Read them slowly. This isn't about getting anything done, right? You're not working for it. You're just supposed to let the words change you as you read it. So to recap, to put on our new robe in Christ, We have to admit that we have a problem. Then we have to talk to other people about our problems. And then we have to use different people and tools in order to help us grow. The final thing that I did in my process was I chose to believe that my past no longer defined me. The biggest step that I took in this process was actually during my internship year, so not that long ago. I made a decision once and for all that all of these things from my past that I was holding on to would no longer define me, but I would be defined by Christ. On good days, bad days, days when I feel like it, and even when it wasn't easy, I would constantly remind myself that I am free because of what Jesus did for me. And even if I mess up, even if I struggle, I am redeemed through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. This wasn't easy, though. It took me stepping outside of my comfort zone daily to tell people what I was struggling with or what was going on in my life, but also daily giving those things up to God. Does this mean that I'm perfect? No, absolutely not. I still struggle with these things. I still wake up every single morning and I have to spend time with Jesus as he works on my heart and he helps me become the person that he created me to be. And even though it can be really challenging and even painful at times, it is so worth it. I don't share my story with you tonight to get sympathy from you or to brag. To be honest, the main reason I share it is because I don't want you getting to the end of your time here at college still having things that you need to work through in your life and missing out on 4 years that Jesus wants to use you here. I also share my story as a testimony to the power of Jesus Christ and to tell you that the same power that worked in my life is available for you tonight. The main idea tonight is this: your past affects you but doesn't define you. You see, the reason we have the choice to put on a new robe is because when Jesus went to the cross to pay for our sins, he didn't just give us any robe. He gave us his robe. Isaiah 61:10 says this: "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." When I think about brokenness, I'm reminded that Jesus can relate to us in this way. His life was also marked by brokenness. And Jesus' life, first off, unexpectedly and under strange circumstances, his mom became pregnant well before her wedding. When Jesus was a young child, they had to escape, fleeing as refugees for their lives. Then, after that, they made a home back in Nazareth where everyone knew about their strange pregnancy and their shotgun wedding. Jesus never got married, which was really strange for a 30-year-old rabbi. His own brothers didn't believe in him and thought he was crazy. Jesus said that being in God's family was more important than his biological family. Jesus was also betrayed by a friend. He was also abandoned by all of his friends during his greatest hour of need. He was stripped of his robes. His body was beaten, broken, and left to die alone on the cross so that you and me can put on the robe of Christ. Through Jesus' death on the cross, we have been clothed with a more beautiful robe than Joseph or anyone could ever imagine. Your past does not define you. I just want to say that again. Your past does not define you. Your mistakes that you made does not define you. No amount of brokenness in your life or things that you have walked through or things that you are struggling with defines you. They do not eliminate you from being acceptable in the eyes of God. It is only and forever will be the blood of Jesus that heals us and completes us. We are forgiven, we are made worthy, and justified through Christ alone. But we have to make this choice to believe it. This choice to put off the old things and to put on our new selves in Christ. So, there are two ways that you can respond tonight if you guys will stand with me. If you are in here and you're still wearing your old robes, maybe your life is defined by your sin and past, and you've never met Jesus, you've never given him these things, I want to invite you to do that tonight. Let him show you what a life with him can look like. Let him clothe you in a new robe. Let him show you how truly loved you are. I'll have everyone bow their heads and close their eyes. And if that's you tonight, if you want to commit your life to Jesus, if you want him to clothe you with his robe and to remove these things off of you, I'm going to count to three. And on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. No one around the room is looking, as a public declaration of your faith. One, two, three. Awesome. Let me pray for us tonight. Yes, Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us this new robe. God, we thank you that we're able to take off our old self and we're able to welcome you into our hearts to change us into the person that you have meant us to be. God, I pray tonight that if there is anything that people are holding on to, Lord, that we would walk out of here as new people in you. I pray that if people have given their lives to you tonight, Lord, that you would even start that process tonight. Jesus, that they would be able to give these things up to you and lay them down at your altar, and that you would come in and show them how much they are loved, how it's nothing that they have done or nothing that they have to do to earn it, Lord, but that you created them and you love them just the way you are. In your name we pray. Amen. You guys can open your eyes. The second way to respond is maybe you're in here and you already have given your life to Jesus. You're active in small group, you come to everything, but like me, maybe you are ignoring or hiding the brokenness in your heart. I want to invite you tonight to come to the front as an act of obedience to say, I will not be defined by my past. I will not be defined by my brokenness. I will no longer ignore these things in my life. I want you to come to the front and say, I will no longer hold on to my sin and my shame. I will choose to put on the robe of Jesus and live a new life. Because the reality is, there are thousands of other students on this campus that need to hear that message, that their past, their family, their sin, and their mistakes are not what defines them, and they don't have to hide that or be ashamed of that. They can be made new in Jesus. But who's going to tell them? So, if there's anything in your life that you need to give to the Lord, if there's anything other than Jesus that you are putting your identity in, I want you to step out right now, step out of your comfort zone and come to the front, spread out. And if you also need any prayer, there's going to be people in the back that are willing to pray for you. The worship team is going to lead us in a song. It's a new song. We've never sang it before. But tonight, as you come up front, as you let God heal those parts of you, I want you to pay attention to the words. You don't necessarily have to sing it, but just listen to what God is saying. Listen to what God's opinion is of you. Release any fear, shame, or anxiety that you have, and lay that down at the feet of Jesus tonight. Let's worship.